Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Brian Cameron, Professor of Practice and Executive Director for the Center for Enterprise Architecture, Penn State. Brian is also the founding president of FEEPL, the Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations, and the EA Initiative at Penn State. Brian, you bring a substantive history of significant and considerable contribution to education, research, enterprise architecture, executive thought leadership, and innovation to this interview. We are indeed fortunate to have you share your many deep experiences with the audience. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Brian, you've been doing a lot of stuff lately, including speaking at conference and so forth. So can you provide an update of your activities and wins since our last interview?
Sure. As you mentioned, quite a bit of activity going on here at Penn State. Our Center for Enterprise Architecture was officially recognized by the university this past spring, which was a major step forward for us. So we're an official research center now at the university. We're in the final stages of launching our new online professional master's program as well. We've had tremendous amount of inquiries. We have students taking courses now, and we hope to have final Board of Trustees approval within the next 6 to 8 weeks. So that's another major milestone for us. Our undergraduate curriculum in enterprise architecture is being rolled out as we speak as well. FEEPL has coalesced and is taking off. We have almost 20 organizations now, and that organization is coming together, and I think is poised to make a dramatic impact on the profession in the future.
You also were one of the major presenters at the World CIO Forum, and you also did a panel session. Can you sort of describe those experiences?
Sure. I had the opportunity to present and serve on a panel at the World CIO Forum this past fall. Great experience. CIOs from all over the globe, a lot of interest in enterprise architecture, a lot of great discussions, great speakers, great panelists. It was an honor to present in this forum. And as you mentioned, Stephen, I've been invited to speak in a number of different forums over the last year and this spring. This coming spring, I'll be speaking at the Open Group Enterprise Architecture Conference, the Department of Defense Enterprise Architecture Conference, Gartner's annual EA conference, and to the National Association of CIOs, and as well as some private corporate speaking.
So, Brian, what is the current state of FEEPL and your plans for 2012?
Well, as I mentioned, FEEPL has coalesced nicely. We have almost 20 organizations and counting. We've got three or four new inquiries from prospective members, and this group has come together nicely. We've organized around several working groups. We're pushing several initiatives forward that we feel are needed in the profession, such as a taxonomy of the many different groups in the profession. We're doing an inventory as well of all the different projects and artifacts and et cetera that our different members have produced. So we have kind of a landscape of what's out there and what's going on between the membership, and then try to identify what are the opportunities for collaboration, et cetera, moving forward. We have our next meeting coming up this March, mid-March. The IEEE Computer Society has offered to host this meeting in Los Angeles, and the community is coming together nicely, and I really believe that in time this organization is poised to make a dramatic impact on the profession of enterprise architecture.
Outside of the university, what do you have planned for 2012, and how will the audience benefit?
As I mentioned, I've been invited to do a number of speaking engagements in 2012, so I'll be traveling quite a bit. I will also be doing some speaking at different corporate events, PwC's annual EA meeting. YPRO has invited me to speak to a group of their EA professionals and a few other organizations. We also have a number of large research and education projects that we're doing for some of our corporate members. We're in the process of conducting an EA maturity analysis for an enterprise architecture group within Lockheed Martin. We have some different educational programs planned for companies like Boeing, as well as DHL in Germany and some others. So we've got quite a portfolio of activities planned for 2012.
Now, getting back to the university, what do you have planned in your executive program?
Well, with executive education in general, we're in the process of planning a portfolio of programs and partnerships. We're talking with organizations like Forrester and Gartner about future partnerships in executive education and outlining different topical areas, et cetera. The program that we're talking about today is a unique program, which is really an evolution of an IT and business strategy program that we've done for a number of years. This program, the current incarnation of this program, focuses on enterprise integration and transformation and looking at the IT business alignment quest that we've been on for a number of decades, and puts what we feel is maybe a more forward-looking view of alignment forward. We've been talking about alignment for decades, and if only recently have people like Gartner and others begin to question whether we've been asking the right questions and whether we're really any better aligned today than we were, say, 10 years ago. Most of the alignment discussions that are out there in the alignment books, et cetera, stay at the 50,000-foot level. And conceptually, you know, we can all agree that alignment makes sense. Alignment not just with business and IT, but alignment within all parts of the organization. But once we get any lower than that, down to more of the tactical implementation, that's where many of the alignment books, courses, et cetera, really kind of break down, in my opinion. We can conceptually agree that this makes sense, but how we actually achieve it in organizations and technically implement alignment has eluded many organizations today. So we feel we have a unique program consisting of industry experts and faculty / consultants from many different organizations that have come together to look at alignment in terms of producing business value and look at some unique processes and tools for helping to actually analyze, plan, and tactically implement over time and enterprise integration, transformation, and the resulting alignment.
Well, that speaks to this program that you have, as you mentioned, enterprise integration and transformation and beyond IT business alignment. Can you talk a little bit more about why you created this educational program?
Sure. This program was evolved over time in consultation with many different corporations, government entities, et cetera. It's unlike any program that's out there currently. There are other, as I mentioned, programs, books, et cetera, that talk about traditional views of alignment, but most stay at the 50,000-foot level. But there's really nothing out there at the executive education level that addresses this evolving, more forward-looking view of alignment, where we're not talking specifically about alignment in the traditional sense, but looking at more of how we produce business value through enterprise integration and transformation and the application of enterprise architecture, not just in IT, but in the organization as a whole.
Now, speaking specifically to, you know, the deliverables within the program and some of the topic areas you're going to cover, how would you define the evolving view of IT business alignment?
Well, if you look at some of the literature that's coming out, or has come out in recent months, you know, it points to, you know, IT alignment has been a topic of research and discussion, as I mentioned, for decades, but only recently have we started to question whether alignment's the appropriate ultimate end for the corporation. So, for example, you know, we've been talking about IT and business alignment, like IT's out here someplace and the rest of the business is over in another area and we need to align the two. When really, yeah, I believe the evolving view is that IT's part of the business like every other part of the business. So your HR needs to be aligned with strategy, your operations need to be aligned with strategy, and on and on and on, just as IT needs to be aligned with strategy. So we tend to put out IT traditionally apart from the rest of the business, but today it's really needs to be integrated into all parts of the business, and it is integrated. Technology is integrated into everything we do. So I think we need to start thinking about alignment in those terms, but also not leaving it at the 50,000-foot level. We need to talk about concrete business value that's derived from implementing enterprise architecture as an alignment tool. And I should clarify this. Traditionally, we think of enterprise architecture as potentially a methodology, framework, toolset for the tactical implementation of IT business alignment. Enterprise architecture has the promise of well-proven methodologies, et cetera, for analyzing planning and tactical implementation of large-scale, hopefully well-aligned IT projects. And taking what we've learned in enterprise architecture and applying that to the organization as a whole is something that we're just starting to think about doing, and we're just starting to look at in different organizations. I mentioned a project we're doing with Lockheed Martin. This is actually, I think it's going to be groundbreaking in a number of different ways. This EA group does not sit in IT. Most of your enterprise architecture groups, many still sit traditionally in the IT area. This group does not. And we're developing tools, a methodology for measuring maturity and other things related to enterprise architecture that apply to the organization as a whole. They still apply to the IT organization, but they're not so IT-centric in their perspective that the leap to the rest of the organization is difficult to make. We're developing a whole tool set that applies to all parts of the organization. So in many ways, this is going to be groundbreaking. Nothing like this has been done quite yet. And we bring this perspective, these tools, et cetera, into this executive education program.
So within this sort of environment and this ecosystem, then, how do you assess your challenges?
There are many challenges. We'll talk about the various challenges from, you know, understanding the organization as a whole, understanding the nature of modern organizations. We actually bring in a gentleman named Al Vasari, who's world-renowned in this area. He works with C-level executives from all over the globe, and he's been through many transformation projects. And he'll talk about modern organizations, give us a little history of how organizations have evolved over the last 20 years or so, and what it takes to manage and understand and lead these modern organizations. And it's a very, I think, in-depth and comprehensive way of trying to assess your many challenges by looking at the organization as a whole and the extended organization as well. You know, today no organization is an island and hasn't been. So we're looking at the extended enterprise as really an extension of the core organization that needs to be understood and analyzed as well.
What are the key points in effective business to design?
When we look at the design of business, you know, traditionally you have your business analysts, et cetera, that are separate from, in many cases, from the enterprise architecture group. Now you are starting to see in many organizations, enterprise architecture, become more business focused, less IT centric, and the business architecture or business process people starting to merge and come together with the enterprise architecture people, as it should be. We're just starting to see that in some organizations. So when we talk about effective business design, we'll start with dovetailing from the discussion of how modern organizations are structured and function to how our business design functions need to be structured and for the future. Talk about some of the traditional designs and then start talking about some of the more adaptive strategies, more forward-looking designs that really, in many ways, bring together some of the discipline that we've been developing in enterprise architecture, but break it away from its IT roots and take a lot of the good activity that's been going on in the business process side, or what's often called the business architecture side, and bring these groups together. Because as I mentioned, IT is just part of the business. Keeping it separate and viewing it separately as this thing that's out here and the rest of the business is over here, I think is quickly becoming dated thinking.
What are the considerations then for effective business architectures?
Well, as I mentioned, the whole thinking around business architecture and enterprise architecture is rapidly evolving, changing, and you know, obviously anytime there's change and evolution, there's debate of how that change and evolution should occur. The business architecture side, business architecture is a term that's really getting a lot of play right now. And if you ask 10 people what it means, you're going to get 10, in some cases, very, very different answers. And business architecture is traditionally one of the major areas of enterprise architecture. However, in some organizations, it's a separate entity, and the EA organization is still traditionally under the IT organization. These things, I believe, have to change in the future. Enterprise architecture and business architecture, or if it's not called business architecture, the business analytical function or business process reengineering function, they really need to come together in the long term. And in some organizations today, they are to create a capability to really position organizations well to do effective integration and transformation in the long term.
What is meant by adaptive enterprise architecture?
Well, the evolving view of enterprise architecture, as I mentioned, is really takes enterprise architecture away from its IT roots and applies the methodologies, frameworks, et cetera, that have been developed over the last 20 years in IT, and applies that discipline and planning to areas outside of IT. And it looks at enterprise architecture as a process, an active process. So in some cases, and I know I've talked with organizations that have actually renamed their enterprise architecture group to enterprise architecting. So it doesn't sound as passive or as perhaps a one-time function where you produce some artifacts and they sit on a shelf, et cetera, but this is an ever occurring process in an organization, as it should be, and not just within the IT group, that it's done eventually throughout the organization. As I mentioned, all organizations need to be in tune with strategy, not just the IT organization. All parts of the organization need to have that linkage with strategy. But most other parts of the organization don't have the methodologies, et cetera, to really implement this strategic alignment. For example, we're doing a project right now with a few corporations looking at how we might apply enterprise architecture to the supply chain. And you'll see their supply chain topics in this program. Because when we look at the supply chain, we're looking at huge integration and transformation issues across our extended enterprise. And the supply chain area has has great business architecture models that have been developed, but not a whole lot below that in rigor and methodology for helping to link not only the processes, but the underlying data, information flows, technologies, et cetera, that need to be understood, architected, et cetera, for effective and adaptive supply chain integration and transformation. So I see that as one area that's perhaps ripe for the introduction of enterprise architecture. We actually have some projects going with a few companies to do some mapping and some pilot work in this area, and which will hopefully evolve into larger initiatives.
How would you summarize the value created?
The value created by enterprise integration transformation and enterprise architecture and the big E view that I'm talking about is applied to the enterprise, not just the IT organization. It is a topic of immense interest to organizations of all types today. These are long-term initiatives done over, typically 3 to 5 or more years. And it takes a very long-term view. However, we have to be producing value along the way and demonstrating value along the way. So we have this almost this quarterly need for ROI, which many will argue, and I would agree, is not the right measure to be using for initiatives like this, but it's one that is still on the top of the list of value measures in organizations, interestingly enough. So we have this quarterly need for some type of value or return that we can demonstrate while we need to push this long-term transformation along. So it creates a conundrum in many organizations. So in the program, we have the value is going to be discussed throughout the program, but we have specific sessions on, understanding what value measurement frameworks, metrics are right for your organization, right for your stakeholder groups, et cetera. And this is definitely not a one-size-fits-all. We'll talk about some research that we're doing in value measurement, and we've got a very robust study that we've recently conducted looking at how value is being measured in different organizations, what type of metrics are being used, et cetera. And we're building on this this research to provide some guidance and a value measurement framework that organizations can look at and understand what type of value measures would work best for their organizations and how they go about implementing the program, measuring the value over time, and communicating the value. That's a huge component. We've talked with some organizations that have value measurement programs in place, which are fairly decent, but they're not very good at communicating to their different stakeholder groups on the value that they're producing along the way. So that communication is a big part of it and something that we'll talk about in the program as well.
How is this work at Penn State unique and clearly differentiated?
Well, as I said, there's nothing else like this in the marketplace currently. I think some of the questions that we're looking at Penn State through our Center for Enterprise Architecture are very much of interest to corporations and government entities of all types, but by and large haven't been explored at any level of detail that we've been able to uncover. We've finished talking about value measurement. A lot written about value measurement, but it's by and large all very high level. Not a lot of detail and guidance on how to actually understand value, put good value measurement programs in place. And there's a tremendous demand for this and many other topics, but by and large, it hasn't been addressed in current literature, current research. So our Center for Enterprise Architecture has a huge government and corporate membership. So through our interactions with a broad cross-section of organizations and industries, I believe we have a unique perspective for connecting dots and the ability to investigate, research, contribute to the profession in ways that many other universities and other organizations perhaps aren't organized to do at this point in time.
Since we last talked, can you now share some stories from your work?
Sure. We talk about some stories that perhaps stand out. I mentioned this briefly previously. One area that continues to please and amaze me is the amount of interest that we're getting in our new professional master's program in enterprise architecture with absolutely no marketing. The program is in final stages of approval at the university, and as a result, we are not allowed to market in any way, shape, or form until it's officially approved. So through word of mouth, through our members, through some of the speaking that I do at conferences, through some of the articles that have been written about us by Gartner and in Enterprise Architecture and Governance Magazine and others, through these informal sources, we've been getting a tremendous amount of interest in the master's program. And once we start officially marketing the program, I think it's just going to be incredible. Also, the interest in continuing education in this area, and when I say continuing education, I mean beyond degree-granting education. We have an Introduction to Enterprise Architecture certificate program that's a self-paced program that's been extremely popular with organizations of all type to provide a common language, a common introduction to concepts, best practices, et cetera, around enterprise architecture. It's approximately 40 hours in length, and it's been very well received. Most of the education that's out there currently is very framework specific. There are many, many different training programs out there, many different certifications, and anybody can in this space can throw out an enterprise architecture shingle and certification, and there's really no validity checked as to, you know, what's done under the hood at this point in time. Hopefully FIPA will be able to address issues like this in the future. But at this point in time, a lot of places to go for training, and you know, most of that training is very framework specific. There's TOGAF courses, there's Zachman related courses, there's DODAF courses, and on and on and on. But not much of anything that cuts across all of these different perspectives and presents a higher level view and almost a compare and contrast, as we do in our program, between the different perspectives that are out there, and kind of creates the toolkit that applies to enterprise architecture as a whole, regardless of what framework or methodology your organization adheres to. We don't intend to become a TOGAF or DODAF or Zachman shop here. As I said, there's plenty of places to go for that type of education. information, but rather we'd like to produce people that have a broad tool set, can look across all of these different perspectives and frameworks and methodologies, and maybe offer insights that somebody that's been trained very narrowly wouldn't have. And then the organizations that hire our students can drill them down further into whatever framework or methodology they adhere to internally. And most organizations today adhere to some type of hybrid methodology. So very few, at least from the organizations that we've studied, implement one enterprise architecture framework or methodology solely from start to finish. And most have some type of hybrid approach that they've implemented.
So within your program, do you encourage mapping between the different frameworks?
Oh, yes. And we're actually in the process of coming out with a white paper that does just that, that does a mapping and compare and contrast between the new iterations of the popular EA framework. So within the last year, most of the major groups have come out with new versions, new iterations of their frameworks and methodologies. And we're actually doing a mapping and compare and contrast paper on these new versions.
Do you know when that paper will be released?
Hopefully within the next 3 months, two to three months.
Excellent. So perhaps we can provide that as a link post-interview.
Yes, definitely.
So that would be one of the top recommended resources, and I can see the value in that. Are there others that you would recommend?
I browse CIO Magazine regularly. I find a lot of their articles and insights to be of use. There's a Journal of Enterprise Transformation. It's a relatively new journal, but they've been putting out some good work. Journal of Enterprise Architecture also puts out some interesting articles, as well as more traditional sources like the Forrester and Gartner research. We have good relationships with both organizations and have had many interesting discussions with our Forrester and Gartner counterparts and find a lot of benefit from the information and insights exchanged.
I guess there's also the ACM Tech Pack, which you chaired.
Yes, there is a new ACM Tech Pack on enterprise architecture, which provides a great foundational database of resources to a variety of areas of enterprise architecture. We're actually in the process of enhancing version 1, and we'll hope to come out with a version 2 of the Tech Pack within the next 3 to 4 months.
I'm also thinking maybe the white paper would be a great addition to the digital library.
Yes, definitely.
Now, you choose the areas. Can you provide your top predictions for 2012 and their implications and opportunities?
Okay. 2012. I'll keep my predictions to enterprise architecture related areas. I'm going to predict, and this will start in 2012 and occur, I believe, over the next 5 to 7 years, that the role of the CIO and the role of the chief architect are going to be increasingly converging on one another. As we outsource more of our IT infrastructure, put it into the cloud, et cetera, the CIO position becomes more and more about strategy, architecting, planning, et cetera. And we're starting to see this occur in organizations now. So as a result, some of the functions that we traditionally attribute to the chief architect, I think are going to be converging on the emerging role of the CIO. So we see our master's program, for example, even though it's under the banner of enterprise architecture, really to be the closest thing to a CIO preparatory program that I've seen in the marketplace. I think our program prepares the master's students not solely for roles in enterprise architecture, but for any type of senior IT-related leadership role, be it a CIO or any other titles in this area, especially in enterprise architecture, are all over the board right now. So you really can't say definitively that this prepares you for this title, et cetera, because most organizations are just in the early stages of putting career paths together for EA professionals. So I believe what we're doing here is preparing students, and the research that we're doing really focuses on any area related to IT, senior leadership, strategy, planning, et cetera. And I believe these roles traditionally attributed to the architecture group are going to be more and more attributed and merged with those roles of the CIO and his or her staff. Okay, another trend that I believe we'll see increase in 2012 is the emphasis on enterprise architecture in organizations of all types, even some that we traditionally don't think of as being ready for enterprise architecture. I'm seeing many mid-size organizations that are in the early stages of implementing enterprise architecture, organizations that you wouldn't traditionally think of. You know, we traditionally think of large global 2000 organizations, large governments, et cetera, implementing enterprise architecture practices and groups. Companies such as Harley-Davidson, as Wegmans, Walgreens, companies that are firmly in that mid-market definition or size, are implementing enterprise architecture for the first time. They're coming to our programs, putting people in our master's program and our educational programs, et cetera, and looking to, you know, establish these programs correctly and really make an impact on the business value that they're bringing to their organization. So it's interesting that we're seeing enterprise architecture adapted in all types of and sizes of organizations, as well as the global perspective on enterprise architecture. The discussion in China with mid-size, small mid-size and larger Chinese companies was fabulous. Enterprise architecture is, you know, one of their top priorities. In some organizations, it's very mature. We talked with some organizations that are setting up EA consulting practices to consult and meet this demand within China. So it's truly, the growth and momentum is truly international, and I expect that to continue and grow in 2012. I also believe that the Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations will continue to mature, coalesce, and really start making some significant headway in 2012.
Within FIPO, there's sometimes sort of an undercurrent or a theme about a profession, and I know one of the members within the Federation is focused in that area. But I'd like to get your views on this, and that is, can you talk more about the components of a mature profession and why they matter and the importance of professionalism?
Sure. And one of our goals at Penn State is to see enterprise architecture become a real profession, a mainstream academic discipline, and not have what we're doing just be a unique set of programs at Penn State. And I think it's going to take some time and a lot of effort on many parts for this to happen until enterprise architecture and other parts of IT, for that matter, or traditional parts of IT, have the same recognition as a profession as, say, accounting or electrical engineering or on and on and on. So some of the components that I see as a academic that are needed in a profession, some industry coalescence and agreement on what are the core parts, what are the core components to this profession, which can include things like career frameworks, career paths. You know, go back to accounting. There's very little debate on what core components should be in an accounting profession, accounting curriculum. And we don't have that yet in enterprise architecture. Anybody can put the term on, any university or any training organization can put the term on just about anything at once, and there's really no body to say whether that's correct or incorrect usage of the term enterprise architecture. Hopefully FIPO over time, one of our motivations for bringing together these different industry associations was to over time create this body of most, if not all, of the major players in the industry to come to some agreement over time on what these core components should be, what the general career paths should look like, and provide some guidance in the marketplace and decrease the fragmentation and confusion that I feel exists now. Along with that, the creation of academic programs. Right now, our program at Penn State was designed with significant input from a number of corporations, government entities, et cetera, because we don't have a common set of standards put out by some standards body on what needs to be in an EA curriculum. As with IT in general, we don't have that by and large today. FIPO over time, I hope, will evolve to include perhaps an academic arm where we develop some model curriculums, we come to consensus between different academic bodies on really what it means to have an enterprise architecture curriculum at various levels. And then we'll have some way of measuring whether different universities, training organizations, et cetera, are providing the right type of education. But it's going to take some time to get there.
I was struck by the work that the U.S. government is doing, I guess the Department of Defense, and they have a framework within enterprise architecture, but they've also got some career strategy. And I noticed that there's this kind of wish or plan to have a certification backing enterprise architecture. Do you know any more about that?
Yes, the Department of Defense is actively involved in FIPO and in our Center for Enterprise Architecture. They're taking the lead on developing a career framework for EA professionals within the Department of Defense. And then over time, we'll develop some certifications, you know, around different parts of or different levels of this career framework. I think it's a great start. What we're hoping to do, since this is out of necessity, tailored to the Department of Defense, take some of the good work that's been done there, bring that to perhaps a working group within FIPO to get further comment outside of the defense area, the defense community, and perhaps evolve that over time into something that could be used and is accepted by, you know, a large section of the profession. I think that would be extremely useful. I know the Open Group has done some early work on a career framework as well. And it would be nice to bring these efforts together through FIPO. It's one of the missions of FIPO to try to bring disparate efforts like this together, jointly evolve them, and then have all of the participating organizations stand behind it. And then I believe we have something that is useful and recognized for the profession. So over time, I hope that that occurs.
Brian, we're at the last question in this interview, and this is where I turn the tables and provide an opportunity for you to sort of address areas that I may have missed in my question. So what three questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Okay. I'm not sure if I have three, but one question that I might ask regarding our executive education, what trends we're seeing in executive education, what different formats of executive education are we exploring or implementing with different constituency groups? And the answer to that question would be that we've seen a tremendous change in the executive education market. Traditionally, executive education, you know, 1 to 2 weeks in length, where executives from a variety of organizations would come to universities like Penn State, be here for a week or two around particular topics, et cetera. And organizations just, by and large, aren't willing to do that any longer. They want shorter programs, very targeted. Also, that we're much more price sensitive today than we had been in the past, understandably so, and not necessarily done residentially at a university like Penn State, perhaps taken to various metropolitan markets, having some online components, some face-to-face. Also, the market for customized executive education, where we work with a single client, is growing much more rapidly than the traditional open enrollment programs where people come from a variety of different organizations. So in these customized programs, it's really a hybrid of education, consulting, and all wrapped together into a workshop environment. And we're planning some of these with several organizations now where we have a tailored outline. There's an educational upfront component, but then right away we get into workshops where it's kind of a consultative workshop where we work on real problems, and they start on real projects, real problems that they then can take and continue after the executive education experience has concluded. And then there might be some continuing contact or follow-up on the education and the projects as well over time. And that seems to be the generally desired model in many organizations because of the immediate application to their jobs, and a new model for executive education that I think all universities either are looking at as we are or will be looking at in the near future. Also, the typical market for executive education, I think, is shifting as well. Traditionally, executive education focused on very senior level executives. I think in many organizations, we don't have as many of those people anymore as we've flattened our organizations. So I think executive education is being extended, I know it is here at Penn State, to many levels of the organization, and maybe levels that at one time at the lower mid-level that were maybe not considered for senior level executive education. I think today with flatter organizations, the career paths perhaps are accelerated. There's not as many levels to progress into. So I think the executive education experience has to recognize that and develop programs that fit modern organizations. And we're definitely on the forefront of this thinking and development at Penn State.
Well, Brian, we will continue to follow your significant contributions, and we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and accumulated deep insights with our audience.
Great. Thank you again for the invitation to be part of this interview, Stephen.
I'm Stephen Ibarak, and this completes our exclusive interview with Brian Cameron, Professor of Practice and Executive Director for the Center for Enterprise Architecture at Penn State. Brian is also the founding president of FEEPL, the Federation of Enterprise Architecture Professional Organizations, and the EA Initiative at Penn State.